post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Okay, welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me tonight is Con Stamakostas. Con is the editor of halftimeheroes.com.au and always has plenty of fine things to say about football in Australia. Coming up in the first half hour, we've got Asian Champions League. We're going to talk about the Australian keepers and why Mitch Langerak is the last Australian goalkeeper ever. And we've got quiz questions, dedications, news and more or less Craig. Now, email flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. Catch the podcast on the blog, nearpost.blogspot.com, and of course on iTunes and on halftimeheroes.com.au, where you can also get the latest edition of Halftime Heroes. Some fantastic reading there. And you can, of course, this show is normally streamed on 2xfm.org.au. We dedicate the show every week, and this week's no different. We dedicate it to Matt McGrath, a man who's sort of led the North Queensland media from the front. He's had a fantastic blog. He's handed it over due to health reasons, and the fury will continue, and Matt has taken a bit of a break, and we hope that his health stabilised. But it's been a great blog and a great read for all those football fans, and of course the blog is set to continue. So thanks, Matt, for all your hard work. The quiz question this week, Con, for our World Cup expert out there: there are seven teams in the World Cup this year whose countries start with the letter S. Name them.
Oh, gee, Serbia, Spain, Slovakia.
Three. He's nearly halfway through already. The man's a genius.
How many is there?
There's seven.
Serbia, Spain, Slovakia. Now I'm lost.
Yes. Come on, Connie. I find if you repeat the names, it helps.
Let me just look at the world map, shall I?
Okay, I'll give you a clue. One in Asia.
One in Asia.
Yeah, and it's not South Australia.
South Africa's another one.
South Africa, there you go, you got four. Come on, mate. Korea.
South Korea.
South Korea.
I guess, yeah, South Korea. How many left? Two?
Two.
Stumped, mate, stumped.
Come on. You can do it. Okay, we've got Slovenia, Slovakia.
Slovenia, that's right. Slovenia.
Spain, Switzerland, Serbia, South Korea.
Switzerland, that's right. But who remembers Switzerland anyway?
That's right. I mean, who does? That's right.
I guess if you live in Switzerland, you remember it.
I suppose some of those people might. But anyway, Switzerland will be there, so we'd like to have them there, of course. Now, the news this week: Simon Cosmo heads to Korea. Actually, he's back, and he's signed on at Sydney FC for 2 years. Sydney FC, of course, have moved to Melbourne and will be called Melbourne Heart in the hope of improving their crowds. Scott McDonald, remember him? He scored for Borough. Brad Jones saved a penalty. Jade North is on the bench in Norway, and apparently it's a colder bench than it is in Korea. And Oliver Bezaznich played for Aldershot, and the Germans are quaking at the, worrying about the old Aldershot forward might get a gig. Perth Glory Football Club is pleased to announce that veteran Jamie Harmel has not gone back to Lithuania to play football, but he signed a new deal with the club for 2010. And in a double coup, in the time of saving money for all Labour League clubs, we announced not one but two. Jamie Harmel signed, and Rangers legend, former North Queensland Fury manager Ian Ferguson, has agreed terms to become assistant to Dave Mitchell. So I don't know whether that's a promotion or a demotion from manager of the Fury to assistant at Perth. Tommy Orr, Adam Serrata and Michael Zillo head to Holland, and Brisbane receive $1.8 million. And we'll have a chat about that in a bit, Con. Newcastle Jets today have announced the signing of versatile midfielder. Yes, you're loving it, Connie. He's back. Ruben Zankovic is back on a 3-year contract, having spent 2 years on holiday in Derby. The announcement comes less than a week after New Zealand international Jeremy Brockie penned a 2-year deal with the Hyundai A-League 2007-08 champions. So they're really building a fantastic squad this year. Carl Valeri Sassuolo are on the verge of promotion to Serie A. Valeri played a full game, unlike most other Australians in the world, in the recent home win. And Newcastle Jets junior James Virgili returned from a trial with Glasgow Celtic. The great Glasgow Celtic, I might add. But he hopes to be recalled soon, possibly over this summer. In Canberra this week, the under-13 national champions take place. with a style of play almost as important as the team wins. And interesting to note that teams are encouraged to play out from the back. And I went down to watch a couple of games this week, and there wasn't one team keep playing the ball out from the back. Everything was booting it long. So
triangles, Simon?
There were some triangles. Yeah, we had nice triangles. But what I spoke to Matilda's coach, Tom Simoni. I said, Tom, aren't we all supposed to be playing out from the back? And he said, well, the problem is at the age of 13, in the girls particularly, is that the other teams know exactly what you're going to do. So they go and mark their fullbacks, and of course it makes it difficult. And the girls can't throw it or kick it as far, perhaps, as their older girls. So it's made for an interesting take on the whole FFA playing out 4-3-3 model. But he's the boys play from Thursday, so maybe that they'll have a bit stronger and stronger techniques, so that things might change. But yeah, interesting one. And the FFA are expected to appoint all state and territory technical directors by the end of the year. Salaries are expected to be around 100,000, which means that all current technical director position holders are under some pressure, it would seem. And surely the results from their performances at the FFA Championship will also come into consideration. Craig Moore has not been sacked, and 1 million tickets remain to unsold for, or sorry, 1 million tickets remain unsold, but you can gather any of them to go and watch Craig Moore at the World Cup. South Africa's first World Cup with 1 million tickets unsold. And it's not because of Craig that they're unsold, I hasten to add. Once he's announced in the squad, I expect ticket sales to go through the roof. Now, Connie, after all that rubbish, Melbourne victory won. Oh, first of all, any thoughts on that news? Anything you want to chuck
in? Well, I think one of the most exciting things I thought was the signing of Brisbane Roar players.
Well, I mean, it depends on whether you're a Brisbane Roar fan.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, you know, we're not producing the same the quality players. There's not many A-League players going to European clubs, but like they only went there for a trial for 2 weeks, just to not even a trial, just for training. And suddenly they're holding Utrecht shirts and saying they love Utrecht. It's one of the biggest clubs in Holland, and it was their dream to play for them. So.
Well, as they do, but I don't believe that, come for a minute, and you don't believe that, do you? I don't believe that Tommy Orr, Australia's finest prospect, went for training. I mean, anyone who believes that has got rocks in their head. He's gone because they wanted to have a look at him, and obviously it was always on the cards that if he went and did well, he was going to be snapped up. No club like Utrecht are just going to take the guy and go, oh, yeah, you're 18 and you're a fantastic player, the best in Australia.
Yeah.
We don't want you. So it was, I think, you know, it's probably a bit of a myth. Ange Postecoglou is over in Greece. Unfortunately, the three guys have now gone. Before we get into Ange, though, I think Adam Sorota must be the luckiest player going around, because he didn't play much last season. I mean, I liked some of what he did, and, you know, he certainly had potential. But suddenly he finds him in the Dutch Eredivisie train-on squad, I guess, or certainly the youth team. Fantastic for his development, but he hardly, you know, rocked this show in the A-League. And I think out of that 1.8 million transfer, wouldn't you think that Tommy Orr's on 1.75 million transfer and the rest are just thrown in?
Well, if it's I guess it's a case for playing the numbers. If they buy three players and one works out well, then I guess they're happy with that. But
I guess so. And I think I think there is a big Qantas obviously sponsored the Socceroos, but there's some rumour going around that they're starting to sponsor the A-League, because apparently there's a seat on the plane. On the left side of the wing, I think it's probably row F, seat 27. Ruben Zagovic had it this week. Adam Strotter will have it in 2 years. It's just a seat you come back on when you fail overseas, isn't that right? I mean, Ruben never played again.
Ruben must be used to hanging out in row Z. Well, his crosses are used to it anyway.
Yeah, well, you watch out this year, because he's going to be back down playing against Sydney, and you just watch out. I know you stand behind the goals there, Connie, and some of his crosses, you could be catching them, mate.
Yeah. Right, well, Ruben. I actually do stand in row Z.
Oh, well,
so
Ruben for you. Michael Zullo, I'm surprised that he's gone.
Well, Michael Zullo must be saying to himself, thank God I don't have to play left back anymore, like Ange Postecoglou taught him, because if they looked at his displays at left back, I don't think they would have signed him. They probably sent the DVD before he was moved to left back. But
I think there's been a bit of a mistake on Utrecht's part. I think they've got the old, you know, I mean, there was a handbook that went round after AC Milan signed Luther Blissett. Apparently, they got when Luther Blissett and John Barnes were at Watford, the AC Milan wanted to sign, you know, that great, outstanding player at Watford, and they got Luther Blissett when really they wanted John Bonds. So they got the wrong one. And I think what's happened is all clubs now are trying to sign two in case. So instead of just getting Tommy Orr, they've taken Zolo as well, just in case they don't get the wrong one. But I think Michael Zolo would probably be on his way back as well, Con. That's my view.
Well, another thing, when they probably sent the DVDs over, they would have had Fox commentator Robbie Slater saying, the next Harry Kewell every 5 seconds.
That's right.
So,
yeah, well, that's right. So I think, I don't know, it's interesting to see whether, I mean, it's great that these guys are going, in all seriousness, that they're going to the Dutch league.
Yes.
Because like with the likes of James Holland and these guys, you're getting players now who are going to be training at a higher level. And as the research shows, if you don't go to a top club or Eredivisie club, you tend to stay, 80% of the guys, and I would suggest Sirota and probably Zullo will stay at those clubs. And if they went to a lower club, they'd never get out of it. So they have a chance, I guess.
But it's a double-edged, or well, I don't know if that's the term, double-edged sword, but I think it's automatically you just think with this move that these players are going to be better players.
And it's not necessarily true because there's no evidence that the players coming back are necessarily better, are they?
I mean, Ruben's
not going to be better than when he went. He hasn't played.
Well, it's the best chance of becoming better players. That's what goes through my head. But if they stayed in the A-League for another 2 or 3 years, I don't see them becoming better players than what they are. But this is their best chance to become better players.
Well, that's true, and that's an interesting point that I think a lot of the guys, when they get to 19 or 20, probably Zullo's around about there, I don't see them improving from 20 to 24 in the A-League, you know. You know, Mark Bridges, more or less the player he was when he came onto the scene. He doesn't seem to get any better. He's not getting any worse, but he's not improving, is he? And Stu Michel, I'd probably argue the same, you know. He was good at the Jets and he was good this season, but he hasn't necessarily improved out of sight. And I think these guys, Tommy Odd, definitely. Zolo, yeah, he might get a go, but I think it's really important the clubs they go to. If they're off to Scottish, you know, lower Premier League clubs, I don't think they are going to improve. You know, unless they're a standout player, I think, you know.
Going back to Stu Michel, like, I reckon he's a better player than Adam Sirota. He played in the same. Adam Sirota was playing in that same position.
Absolutely, Stu Michel is. I guess he's older though, isn't he? And that's the problem.
I would have automatically gone, yep, that's a good. That would be a good signing for them. So.
Yeah, I know Ned Zelic, when he played with the Jets, when Bridge and Michel were there, he expected them to go on to bigger and better things, i.e., go to Europe, but. He was surprised that it didn't happen for them. So, and they probably missed the boat, I reckon.
Well, you never know. If they have I think Bryce, Bridge and Michalik would do well overseas, but they need to have another good season. And, you know, Sydney FC should have made contact with a Dutch club.
Well, that's right. I mean, Bridge.
But that way they could have.
Yeah, Bridge. Well, instead of Melbourne Heart, you mean? Sending their players down.
I'm
there.
Not but, joke.
Yeah, no. So I think, well, interesting on Ange Postecoglou. He's obviously, Jesse Fink's had a go at him for being over in Greece when his players have been taken off to Holland. But he's lost 9 players. He's lost his whole defence in Craig Moore, Danny Teato, Michael Zullo, the new left back, and Bob Malcolm. Some of those he's wanted to lose. He's also lost his forward line in Tommy Orr and Sergio van Dijk and Michael Zullo, of course, as a forward. And he's lost Sirota in midfield. So he's only got the MMMs left, Mackay and...
there's only 2 players and a seagull.
Yeah, although he has signed a goalkeeper. Theoklitos, I think, signed with Queensland.
But I think I passed this story on to you. There was a story in the Scottish news media.
That's right, the Daily Record, the Scottish equivalent of the Sydney Daily Telegraph. But do go on, Colin.
Well, Postecoglou got rid of all these players, and one of them was Bob Malcolm. And Bob Malcolm... basically spewed his guts about what was happening at the Brisbane Roar. And Bob Malcolm was saying that Ange Postecoglou banned smiling during training sessions. So he walked around with a notepad. Anyone that smiled or did a bit of a joke, jotted it down, and then they were punished for it. So that sounds a bit... I mean, when I read that article, I was sort of like, oh, I can see it. Because he doesn't smile very much, Postecoglou. Like, he's not a... Doesn't have that...
No, but Bob Malcolm's hardly the funniest looking,
is he?
He's not likely. He can have a big laugh every day. But, it's interesting. I mean, Postecoglou, presumably, he obviously wanted to get rid of some of the players. That goes without saying. And he wanted to set a tone. But it does seem a bit prehistoric, doesn't it? To walk
it
around...
Sounds like sour grapes. But yeah. I do like when players do sort of reveal the inside of the training, what goes on in training. Like, I feel... I think us fans don't get enough of the intricacies of training and stuff like
that. I think you're right, Colin. I think what we need now is like Fox Sport or whoever to get Ange on the show and actually ask him.
Yeah, like because do you not? We've heard that you don't like smiling, and do you want your players not to smile as well? And then the first thing we'll do is we'll go, no.
I mean, that's right, but I mean, someone should ask him, but I bet you they won't ask him.
No.
Will they?
They're all mates.
Yeah, and he'll just say, oh, it's Bob Malcolm, just whatever. But it is interesting because he's lost 9 players.
Yeah, exactly. 9 and players.
The other thing that
would have left, and I'd love to hear what they've got to say on the situation as well, like whether it's true, like...
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, Tommy Orr, I mean...
Not true, let's just pretend it is.
We know they've got to go overseas to improve, everybody knows that, but I suppose the thing for me, Colin, is if you're watching a Jared Hayne in rugby league or, I don't know, a Benji Marshall, and you watch them come up through the years and you think, oh, yeah, there's a good guy. You know, now in Brisbane we're watching Tommy Orr, so this year he's doing well, and, you know, over the next 2 years you think, oh, it'd be fantastic to see Tommy Orr playing, improving. We know he has to go overseas, but of course for the A-League, we unlike the Rugby League and the other codes, they see their guys because they don't tend to go anywhere. They see their Jared Haynes and, you know, people can follow them and they can become local heroes. Whereas Tommy Orr, now he's gone. I mean, he's gone forever. If he does do as well as people are hoping and perhaps expect he will do, you know, he may not be back until he's 32, 33. How do the Brisbane Roar build a team when you're 17 or 18-year-old who has real potential keeps clearing off?
Well, how they build a team is by using that $1.8 million and spending it on training, better training regimes, spending it on scouting, not just scouting overseas, but scouting, paying people to go and watch young kids play. So you scour the whole country. That's what proper scouting is. Not going to Greece and watching this, you know, your ex-team play and getting some 34-year-old that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, we don't want that.
Spending that money wisely.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't do that.
The only problem, I think, is that the Brisbane Roar probably need to use that money to clear off their debts, and that's the other problem,
well,
isn't it?
That's what the debts they owe to the FFA, don't they?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's been $12 million coming in transfers, which, of course, the other codes don't get that overseas money, so that is a big boast to the game.
Yes.
But still, it is a problem that, you know, the players with the Oars and the Zullos that we like to watch are now going... you know, it'll be very interesting. I'm predicting Brisbane Roar bottom of the table next year.
Well, unless they don't get any players in, they could probably get half the Fury's players.
Well, okay, then Fury can bottom. But yeah, you're right, they probably could. All right, so moving on there nicely to the North Queensland Fury there, Con. They've stayed alive, they've got rid of the manager,
yeah.
or he's done a runner. Frank Farina for the job, that's what the word is.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad move, I think. Frank Farina... I think he's from Cairns.
That's right, yep.
And obviously, Farina's had a bit... he coached the Socceroos, he's coached the Brisbane Roar, he'd have contacts. I'm sure there'd be players he would have in mind that he'd like to sign.
Robbie Fowler going to go, I reckon, maybe to Sydney FC. What do you think about that one?
I don't think Robbie Fowler would be worth $1 million to play 20-odd games next year.
No, I'm with you.
Especially if they've got no money. Yeah, it's
yeah.
not. And how many... Like, and everyone raved about his success, but, like, I don't know. I just don't... Bobby Fowler was as successful as people said he was.
Yeah, I think
And I don't
right.
think he was worth it.
So the Cove don't want Robbie?
The Cove, well, he scored against Sydney FC.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry, yeah. Okay, that's the end of that then. Okay, on Mitch Langra, Melbourne Victory won last week. They beat Kawasaki 1-0 in the Asian Champions League. They cling to the possibility of going through, but we know they've got no chance. Adelaide lost in Hiroshima, but they have every chance of making it through. But what I want to talk about is not Kevin Muscat and his penalty, or even the Melbourne loyal 6,000 fans that turned up to watch the best team with the best fans in the country.
Yeah.
But we want to talk about Mitch Langra and why he is the last great Australian keeper ever. I have no doubt.
Say that. What happened to the keepers after Mitch Langerak?
There are no more, because Mitch Langerak is going to be the next Socceroos keeper. Once Adam Federici and co have moved on, Mitch Langerak will take the job for 20 years as Alice Schwartz. So that's my prediction. He was fantastic last week, and he's been catching my all season. But why I say he's the last Australian keeper ever is because, drum roll, is Mark Bosnich, Mark Schwartz, Zeljko Kelić, the three last key Australian keepers, all come from Western Sydney.
Yep.
And of course, now we're going to have an AFL team in Western Sydney. Anybody over 3 foot three at the age of seven is going to be nicked by the AFL. And they are fantastic at, you know, you just wonder if Kalach and Schwartz were born in Melbourne, would they have ever made it to the Socceroos? Mitch Langrat's from Cairns, and I'm just thinking...
That's an interesting point you make there.
And Mitch Langrat's from a non-AFL region, and it really is. I mean, it's a well-known fact in AFL that you just need a tall guy who's athletic, and they can turn him into a bench number 27 player or whatever they need. So I do think it'll be very interesting to see whether we can keep producing those players in... Western Sydney, who need to become our goalkeepers. What do you think about that, Connie?
Well, we've got the Sydney Rovers coming in. They're going to be based in Western Sydney, and protestations by rugby union and rugby league against the AFL.
That's true.
I don't think it's going to be such a smooth ride for the AFL in Western Sydney.
No, maybe not. But they've got a lot of money, and they do have a big ability to, you know, the best talent selection process in the country. So I guess the thing about the AFL is they will ask every tall boy, "Do you want to play for us?" And if not, then okay, you might go to soccer. Whereas we probably don't always get the best guys from. We don't always ask everybody. Probably we don't have all bases covered just because they're so well resourced. Anyway, that's my thought. Mitch Langer is the last, so make the most of it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, young Socceroos are off to Argentina for a couple of games and to Paraguay. They've got... who have they got? They've got... They're building up for the World Cup or Asian Cup qualifiers in Zibol, Shandong province in China in October, I think. And four teams will qualify from that tournament. And in preparation, they've gone to Paraguay. Two games in Paraguay, two games in Argentina. So that's good practice. Some interesting names, Thea Markelis from Valencia, Spain, and Karen Bullitt from Boleslav, Czech Republic. So they've been flown in for the tournament. But talking to Lucy Zelich before the show tonight, and she's picked out one name there to watch. She's been down to the AIS a number of times this season, and she's picking out Mark Warren. Mark Warren has signed with the Central Coast Mariners, and she says he is the absolute standout player, one of the best players she's seen, and he's a central defender. So that's just one if listeners haven't followed all or haven't come across all the players. Mark Warren is Lucy Zelich's tip for the top. Tom Yall's in the squad.
There was one other player called McGrath. Is he in the squad? There was someone... I read somewhere about him that he was very, very skillful as well. I think he was playing overseas.
No, he's not in the squad. That doesn't necessarily mean... I don't know who you're referring to there, Connie.
I don't know. That Markelis fellow you were talking about, Kieran Pender, who writes for Halftime Heroes, actually interviewed him.
Oh, okay.
For an issue a couple of months ago, and he's been playing in the youth team in Valencia, so...
Yeah, I mean, again, we know it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Kasper Tafta was over there in Portugal and obviously didn't make great headway. So, but, I mean, as you'd think, Valencia's youth team, you'd think that would be a pretty impressive training base, wouldn't you, to start your football?
Yeah.
Ben Kantrowski's in the squad. Stephen Lustiger, the Gold Coast United captain of the youth team, he's also in the squad. Tommy Orr, of course. Whether he'll be there going now, I don't know. So there's some known names. Some players have already been. Kofi Danning's not in the squad, but he's available for the next World Cup, as is Ryan Grant, who's also injured. Sam Gallagher's there. Chris Bush, Mustafa Amini. In fact, the Central Coast have a fair few players in it.
Well, they came first. Didn't they win the league?
Yeah, Trent Sainsbury. So, you know, you'd have to hope that they're getting a number of players through into the youth league too. Because one thing about the Central Coast is, although they brought in Matty Simon and... one or two others, they haven't paid a lot of money to their players, but they haven't been able to bring in what I would call, in the 5 years, any real homegrown players, not highly talented players anyway. I mean, they've got Matty Simon and Brad Porter, and Milo Jednak, of course, moved on, but, you know.
I think most A-League clubs, you can say they haven't done very well with bringing any youth players in. I think the most successful teams have been Adelaide United.
Yep.
And I would say Sydney FC, the last couple of years they've brought in...
Yeah. Although Newcastle Jets have done quite well. I mean, they've sold a few as well with James Holland.
Yeah, the Jets have done all right.
Yeah.
But still, that youth squad, I would say half the players have played first-team football and the other half wouldn't have. And I don't think that is good enough.
Now, with the youth squad, I mean, there's a lot of guys there still uncontracted who are still at the AIS. So, I guess that tells you as well how young some of them are, really. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how they go. Francesco Monterossi, he's at Adelaide United. He's getting a gig. Climate Tedeschi at Melbourne Heart. So, you know, there's a few names for people to watch and see.
You could get a gig with SBS with those name pronunciations.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks very much.
George Anikin of you.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thanks, Connie. So what's going on for you then, football-wise, at the moment? You're having a bit of a breather, Con?
Yeah, well, Halftime Heroes came out a couple of weeks ago. Just having a break till we get an edition organised for the World Cup. So, it's basically the climax of all the seasons in Europe.
Yep, so you have a bit of rest.
Enjoying myself watching every game now is pretty big, so, yeah, just enjoying watching the last few games of the season.
Yeah, good to see Manchester United as a ABU. I've got two brothers who've got season tickets for Manchester United, so quite happy to see United doing it tough at the moment.
Well, yeah, you don't mind if the referee doesn't put up his flag?
No, my name's not Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, so...
You know, although seeing Chelsea beat them in the Premier League, I mean...
But I do hate Chelsea.
I hate Chelsea too, so there you go.
But, you know something's going to happen, and I really want Arsenal to win it. They've got... All their players are getting injured, but...
Yeah, they are.
Wenger's policy of not buying players and, you know, trying to play pretty football, it might just come through this season. You never know.
It might, but, I mean, against Barcelona, it was a big difference between the two most attractive teams, you'd say, going around, but I thought Barcelona were way, way better.
Oh, they killed them in the first half, but, you know, Arsenal came back, but I just got a feeling Barcelona's going to destroy Arsenal at the new camp.
Now, Con, 65 days to go. Worried about the World Cup, or are we right on track for a quick getaway after the group stage?
Well, I think as it gets closer, I'm getting excited, but as a Socceroos fan, I live in this world which is blind optimism.
Vinny Grella says we're better than
craziness. You know what I mean? So
no, I don't, Con. We're never going to win the World Cup.
We're never going to win the World Cup, but it was just great to win a game at the World Cup.
Sure, it was. It'd be great to win a game this time, but I don't know.
It'd be great to win a game this time as well.
Yeah. Well, so, all right, Con. Well, thanks for your time. At MrHalftimeHeroes.com.au, check it out. And if you are going to the near post, wherever you are,
get there first.
That's right, Connie. Good on you. Cheers, mate.
The near post, get there first. Don't get there second. Don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.